And then lo and behold, everything shifted. And I went from like 15 to 20% opt-in rates to like 50, 60, sometimes as...
Hey, this is Ola coming to you live from my Empire Pro Studios. On this episode, I have, well, on the Network Marketing 2.0 show, I have the host of Weird Entrepreneurs. Now, before I bring him on here, let me just talk really quickly, and I'm going to let him tell you the whole story and everything, and I'm sure you're going to learn a lot from him today on this particular episode. But it's one of those situations where I was just right. And I like saying it, not to take credit, but, you know, I can smell it from miles away when somebody is just going to be great. When somebody's going to do some great things, I can smell it like from miles away. And when somebody is not going to last 2 days in entrepreneurship, I can smell it too. So I'm just glad that I'm here, sitting down here to do this interview with him, because for me to be doing this style of interview, it takes a lot. And there's a lot of water under the bridge. But we're going to unleash everything as much as we can today. Without any further ado, Justin Berengia.
Yo, excited to be here, Ola. Thanks for having me on. I'm glad to share and get down and dirty here.
Absolutely, absolutely, man. Now, you got to bring Weird Entrepreneurs back. Let me start from that. What's going on? I don't think I've heard anything from you since January.
Yeah, I think we did 12-month run where we put out like 150-plus episodes. And then focus shifted a little bit. So we haven't been putting them out as we used to do 3 days every week. So, but we are looking forward to, you know, bring it forward again and get back in the groove. We really enjoy interviewing people just as you do. You get to learn so much and just build a personal connection with so many incredible people, and also inspire all the listeners from all over the world. So it's like, it is a win-win for everyone, and I appreciate your encouragement there, man.
Good, absolutely. I just realized how much I've been missing. You know, after the 135th something episode here, decided to just do one. I'm like, I'm sold. You know, it's just beautiful, and what we do requires to always stay on top of your game.
Yep.
And also what we do, we're going to get into your story a little bit. You know, sometimes you feel invisible, like you got it, but then you learn something from somebody and be like, wait, I didn't see that coming, right? Your story, tell me your story. How did you get into all this?
Yeah, crazy story, man. Dropped out of college originally. I was younger. I was like a, you know, full-time kung fu practitioner, and I wanted to become basically a practitioner in traditional Chinese medicine. We call TCM, and they had a college here in Tampa nearby, like where I live. So I'm like, I could always learn, become a doctor. You got to get like a 2 years associate's degree. I could get at a local community college, which is where I was going. But long story short, I didn't pursue that. I had an opportunity in real estate. I knew some, that was the time where like everyone was making money in real estate. So I said, let me become basically a trainee appraiser, studying under a certified appraiser. You had to do that for 2 years to get the qualifications to take the state exam. But I said, one day I'll basically work for myself. And you know what I mean? I'll keep all the money when we do an appraisal versus get a small tiny percentage being a trainee. But I was very grateful for the experience to get to learn. So those 2 years paid off very well. My first year in business, I started an appraisal company called Just In Time Appraisals.
Just In Time.
Just In Time Appraisals. Right. And I did very well. And that lasted like 2 years. And then everyone knows what happened to, you know, the real estate economy. Like things crashed. I owned 4 properties at the time, and I ended up $500,000 in debt, you know, which basically we had to start over from there. But that was my first dive as like head first as an entrepreneur. So things were great, lost it all. And then this is the time of around, if I can backdate this here, I don't know, 2009, I was in network marketing because I saw that as an option. You know what I mean? And basically, where else do you not need an education? You know what I mean? No degree required. And you could make, obviously, any type of lifestyle that you want to create for yourself. And I got in network marketing, and then I just failed for like 6 months straight. I did it the traditional way because we would do business opportunity meetings and straight up old school, because I didn't realize you can use the internet back then to build a business. Never connected the two. And long story short, I gained some experience with people skills, because prior to network marketing, my personal development was very lack and I did not have any people skills whatsoever. And so I struggled severely. But then once I realized that I was the variable of why I was failing when there was other people in that company succeeding. So that's when I did like just start studying a lot of personal development and also investing into myself, you know, purchasing products and educational systems and, you know, workshops from people like Danny Johnson to up my skill level. And that's around the time I discovered I could use the internet to actually build that business. And long story short, I learned the internet, basically attraction marketing, same, you know, similar to what you do, putting out content, you know, videos, separate yourself from everyone else out there. What am I going to do that's going to be different than everyone else in the marketplace? And just being raw, you know, authentic, and just putting yourself out there seemed to always work extremely well. Long story short, in 2012, we started making a lot of money. When I say we, my wife and I, she's also my business partner. She's totally amazing. She does her own masterminds, and you know, she really connects with women really, really well, as that's, you know, a lot of the people she works with are mostly women. And long story short, since then, we just went on to make millions of dollars because we discovered how to utilize the internet to basically generate traffic. And we got very good at building a business through attraction marketing on Facebook, using a lot of free strategies, as well as a lot of the, you know, PPC, which is the pay-per-click advertising. And then we would start doing videos and then get like tons of views and people sharing your ad. And, you know, it just leads to viral sustainability and you get all this free traffic, puts your lead cost very inexpensive. And we've been able to probably invest, if I was to guesstimate, maybe 300,000, maybe 350 max into PPC, and in return earn millions of dollars as an ROI due to the, you know, different vehicles that, you know, we decided to build. So just been very fortunate. Now traveling, you know, traveling around the world. We're going Europe in October for the month. We're going to go from everywhere, from London to see Stonehenge, because it's very mysterious out there. Then go to Amsterdam, Switzerland, you know, in Geneva. Going to be going to like Rome, Florence, Pisa, check out Tuscany. Do a lot of cool stuff, because now we have earned, you know, the ability, now that everything is in motion, to be able to really enjoy our lives and not worry about money, but focus upon, you know, whatever our passions are. And that's what this is really about, monetizing your passions and getting paid to do what you're naturally interested in doing. Versus like a big problem with the educational system, besides the education being very shitty, the fact that it's like most people make a decision and then 5 years later they change their mind. They no longer want to do that for a living, and you just invested all that money, all that time of your life to learn that one thing. That's why I'm so passionate about entrepreneurship and teaching people how to solve problems, you know, on their own.
Absolutely. Google. Now, I noticed that you mentioned earlier that, you know, you dropped out of school, and then also you got to a place where you also said you invested in yourself, right?
Yeah.
So clearly you're not talking about education. You're talking about the formal education, you know, what most people know as education, right? They're going to school and then, you know, the whole nine yards, right? So you're talking about investing yourself, and you just also mentioned problem solving. They act like they teach us problem solving in math, but not really. When you get into the real life, it's a different ballgame, right?
Totally.
Can you, give me your pure take on tell me your, really how you feel about formal education and the difference between that and what you learn in the journey of in the journey as an entrepreneur.
Education as we know it in the system, you know, that we all experienced growing up, it was designed for factory workers, you know. I don't believe in today's generation with technology and internet, which is like expanding consciousness, like it, you have more power at your fingertips than like the president did like maybe 10 or 20 years ago. Yeah. You have access to anything and everything. You could make connections. You could make, you know, a call directly to somebody on the other side of the world. So it's like, I don't believe what they teach us in the school system is beneficial to society as entrepreneurs. It's beneficial as factory workers, you know, slavery. Yeah. You know what I mean? In my opinion. And I know I went to a school system that was totally crap. I graduated high school, thank God. But I despised every moment of it because I felt like I was wasting my life. Mm-hmm. I would be in school reading a book I want to read versus some, you know, history that I know is fabricated and made up, you know, by the whoever writes the history books.
For whatever.
So what I've always been very just open-minded and not buying into, like, you know, everything that I don't want to be taught to think the same way as everyone else. I want to learn how to think, you know, for myself. Mm-hmm. And be unique and different. And that's what really weird entrepreneurs really symbolizes, is just being yourself, stepping into your power. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Now, the lobby of the CNN building, 2012. You remember that?
Yes, we had lunch there, man.
Yes. The fire that I saw in your eyes, you know, I just can't forget it, man. I remember that your beautiful wife, Dee, you know, she's having a good time, you know, and she's meeting people. You're meeting people too. But you have this, you ask a question and then you have a fire in your face and you're listening, but it looks like you are ready to take on something. And then the rest was history from that point. What was it that was going through your mind at that point in time?
Wow, that's a good question, man. Have to ponder that.
Or maybe what stage were you before you came to that event? What is it that, what is it?
The biggest thing that comes to my mind is just, as you mentioned, the fire, which... passion, man, just such passion to succeed, because I was in a very rough place. You know what I mean? Struggling to afford the rent, living in a 300 square foot studio apartment. Our place, that this was in Costa Rica, our place kept getting broken into because there was a lot of like thieves, you know, petty theft is pretty big in Costa Rica due to like the poverty, you know? So like I was sick of being robbed. I was sick of not having enough money. And I just wanted to really move to Colombia because I'm, you know, one of those crazy people who believe there was a possibility of something happen in at the end of 2012, whether an expansion of consciousness or like global shift. I don't know. But I decided to move to where like the higher elevation away from the water.
That's what was going on with you?
That's what was going on. So my motivation was, I don't want to, you know, basically I don't want my family to die. So I have to do something about that. And, you know, there was no other option. I knew it was my time. Mm-hmm. 2012 symbolized something far greater. It was just the birth of anything becoming possible, like limitless possibilities. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to step into that because I knew it was my time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I was just ready. I was just waiting for someone to show me, show me the way.
Right. Because for several months after that, up to this point in time, we're in 2016 right now, you've just been killing it. You're all over the place, you know. And I'm just excited to see that and to see that play out like that, you know. Just such a beautiful thing, because a lot of people walk around in the game of entrepreneurship with such a low level of belief, you know. They see it, but they're also always wondering if it can happen for them. You know, maybe they're in a space where they're spending a lot of money to join this, to buy this. So, you know, because somebody said invest in yourself, like you said in the beginning, right? And you and I know that there's no way around it. You know, every dime you spend along the journey is just investment. That's all it is, because it's going to pay off if you never quit, right? Where do you, what, where's the balance? If somebody is coming into this game, they're not crazy like you and I. They don't think the world is going to disappear. They just have a regular job, right? Right? And they're coming and they want a taste of this lifestyle. They want to be able to travel the world. They want to make millions of dollars, right? And, but they have limited resources. We all have limited resources, right?
Right.
So they're wondering what is exactly the proper resource allocation? Where do I put my money? Where's the balance? Because you could have the money in your hands, but you have that belief system also. It goes up and then it goes low. You know, I was reading something on Facebook just not too long ago. Somebody said, motivation doesn't stay there or something like that. Like it doesn't last, right? And the person said, yes, bathing doesn't last either. You have to do it every day, right? Where's the balance when you have limited resources and it's not just, it's not like becoming successful is not an exact science, right?
Yes.
Where's the balance?
And it's an excellent question. I would reframe it and never believe that I have limited resources because then you're going to attract limited resources.
Mm.
And the real estate, the real gold is what's in between your ears. It's the ideas. Your ideas are real estate. You know what I mean? So if you think that there's, if you just reframe it to believing in the infinite possibilities, you know what I mean? Because you're just one idea away from, you know, wherever you want to be, you know what I mean? It's just one idea away of implementing. Hmm. And you just realize there's infinite possibilities in every second.
Oh, hold that thought. I'm sorry. Hold that thought. Wait. That's the first time I ever hear it that way, by the way, because I always teach people that. And I want to correct it henceforth or at least put it in proper context. Okay? I'm saying that from reality. You know, I'm an engineer. You know, you have a certain amount of budget. You say that, right? But then once you start, when you let your mind go a little bit, you realize that there's so much more than just amount you have, which is the whole idea of, for example, in real estate, other people's money, other people's resources is unlimited in reality, in the real reality, because perception becomes reality, right? I just wanted to inject that in there, but that's crazy. Thank you so much for that, because the first time I would hear it that way, that's crazy.
Unlimited resources. Oftentimes people, they see us, you know, as leaders like you and I, Ola, or other, you know, very successful entrepreneurs. But what makes them successful is invisible. It's just their train of thinking, seeing things from a different perspective and realizing that you have full authority to choose beliefs that are going to serve you. Because it's the invisible that creates the material. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So if you want to, you know, change, you know, and reshape your business and have a lot of success, start realizing, you know, model successful people and, you know, restructure your own belief system based on what resonates, you know, with you, but choose beliefs that are going to serve you, you know, because from an unconscious level, you know, that's what's really in direct communication with, you know, law of attraction or universe and what you're manifesting. And, so that's one thing, but I also understand money. Most people don't have a lot of money to invest, and we all started at the same ground floor. The good news is money doesn't determine your success. It's the activities and the results that you get, and you can get results without a lot of money. You just got to be willing to do the things that are required to get the results that most people usually aren't willing to do, which just look at going to a gym. Everyone wants to get buff and have that 6 or 8 pack, but how many people are going to stick to that, you know, diet and exercising maybe 2-3 times a week? How many people will do that a year out of 100 people? Like, you know, probably a handful, you know what I mean?
Not a lot.
So there are disciplines that you do that give you ultimately that slight edge, you know, and just that advantage over things you do. It increases your skill set. It increases your ability to solve, you know, to solve problems. And if you're willing to solve problems fast, instead of lingering on them, and like one thing in your life, hold you up for 30 days because you don't know what to decide. Mm-hmm. You got to learn to like make decisions and figure out problems. And the faster that you can do that, probably the closer you're going to get to your goals. And I see most people who fail, they think they need to ask somebody for mm-hmm. an answer. Like, right. like for example, I want to ask my mentor or whoever I bought this product from, I need to ask them. When you can go to Google and right. figure out that on your own, because if you're getting caught up over a silly little question mm-hmm. that you can find on your own and you're asking people for it, right. then what's the likelihood of you being a successful entrepreneur where you're going to have to solve problems mm-hmm. that are, you know, real deal that are going to affect other people? So it's like a responsibility that we gain as well. You know, the more
I have to kind of remind people that, you know, successful entrepreneurs are weird and crazy and not necessarily normal people. And if you want to make the kind of like, you know, abnormal type of money or create abnormal type of results, in other words, AKA non-average type of results, then you're going to have to kind of like choose how you believe, your belief system and things like that. It's very true because I noticed that people that fail or maybe give up too soon, not necessarily too early, but too soon, you know, I noticed that it's because they got to a point, they stopped solving problems. You know, for me, when I see an obstacle, a challenge, my normal brain says, all right, let's figure it out, right? That's my normal self, you know, but a normal person would probably ask a guru, right? Which is why this the population in church is ridiculous, or any religious setting, right? Because they're always asking, they're looking for something else, an out of body from themselves to ask, than to say, let's figure this out, you know? And figuring it out, sometimes there are guru with agendas out there. They will have an answer for you because they're trying to, you know, they have their own agendas, right? They get you on their own agenda, right? And I'm thinking like, if someone could just in any situation, whatever situation, since we now know that we have unlimited resources, we have unlimited possibilities, right? If we know that every obstacle is just that, it's supposed to make you stronger, it's supposed to get around it, right? If we know that already, we could just simply say, ask the first thing you ask a question. All right, this is an obstacle. How do we fix it? How do we get around it? As opposed to, oh no, Justin must know something that I don't know. Let me go ask him, right? Because even going to Google, right, to do a search, is still you knowing that the power is at your fingertips. Let me go ask Google first, right? Yeah. That's just the knowing of that.
And there's at least a dozen people who have solved your identical problem. So you can find the solution to anything ultimately using the internet. So know what you need to do. And then don't get caught up on anything. There's like forums, you know, and a lot of times people get caught up on like their autoresponder or mm-hmm. like ClickFunnels. And it's like, yo, they have support Monday through Friday, you know, yeah. ClickFunnels has chat support. They'll spend, you know, 24 hours with you, however much time you need to figure out whatever, you know, you need. So that's like half, you know, the battle is just solving problems. Yeah. But welcome it, you know, embrace it and don't let it stress you out. Some people, they get caught up on a problem and then all these other problems and then they get overwhelmed because they just don't move forward and just leaning towards the problem and, you mm-hmm. know, working on a solution, which you can just walk through the problem like, you know, easily, yep. effortlessly almost every time. And yep. I realize some of the people I really look up to, you know, people like yourself and others who are very successful, they just ultimately solve more problems and yeah. they just have a different perspective at looking at life and looking at things, you know, not looking at it from like, oh my God, it's a problem, but looking mm-hmm. at it like, okay, here we go. You know,
that's what to deal with.
Ready to swing the bat. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Real estate. I want to get back into real estate a little bit. A lot of my audience are people in real estate, investing in real estate, wholesaling, you know, whatever, you know, you did mention something earlier about based on what you know today, right? In the past 5 years, like I said, a lot of water under the bridge, right? Based on what you know today, what would you do different if you get back into real estate today?
Different. I guess I wouldn't. Personally, I bought a lot of properties and I just assumed, you know, I would have a lot of money coming in be able to afford all this stuff, not realizing, you know, what I did now. So now what I am doing different, because we recently just purchased a home maybe a year ago in Clearwater after not buying a home for like over 10 years from the time that we owned all that real estate before, but recently did it to have like a home base really to call our
just home. Yeah.
Because we prefer to travel outside the country for half the year, spend the other half at, you know, where we're residing. So it's like, what would I do different now? I probably wouldn't put so much cash down. Not that I don't have the cash now, but I would prefer to just use as much as the bank's monies as possible if I'm going to be like investing or doing something like that.
Right.
I also, a part of me likes not owning real estate because there's no attachment, there's no responsibility, and you have more flexibility because I'm kind of like a in the flow type of guy. Mm-hmm. But then there's the other side of me that's like, you know, real estate is like, there's a lot of advantages to it. There's a lot of disadvantages to it, depending on your lifestyle and what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. So I know for us, we got this place here in Clearwater on the water. It's a three-story townhome. It's beautiful. It only costs us like $250,000. You know what I mean? These properties, like about a decade ago, it once sold for $700,000, but you know, the economy went down. So I feel like right now it is a buyer's market compared to what it was back when I was in real estate.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Things are so, so much cheaper. So we took advantage of that, but I know, you know, don't take real estate advice from me or anything.
I just wanted to know if your perspective has changed. And I like what you brought out there, that you wouldn't use your cash. And I teach that, you know, that as much as you can. You know, if I can, because it's really an arbitrary situation, if I could take 4% over here and turn it to 15% over here, I would do that all day long until I die, and then I will teach it, right? Content, right? I will teach it to other people. That's all I would do ever. I would never get attached to a situation. If I'm buying a home is a home. That's emotional by itself. The word, it's very emotional. That's just home. But I would still want to quantify how much emotions is in it, right? So I make sure that I'm getting that back in terms of sentimental value, whatever that is that I'm getting. I would still want to quantify it. But, you know, most people get into the game, try to treat it like a home, you know, and then they lose, you know? So ultimately, that's when I still hear people say, oh, I just don't like debt. I would just rather use my money. Like, you're missing the point, though. You're not being productive. That's the meager part right there.
It's like, I look at it as like a game. It doesn't exist. Of course, I'm going to make the smart strategic moves to win the game, you know? Yeah. Stock the odds in my side, do my research and all that. But at the end of the day, it's like, doesn't exist. It only becomes debt in your mind if you believe it's debt, where you can just look at it as an investment and do things calculated, you know, with some guidance from a mentor, you know, watching over what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Traffic and conversions. What's your mindset when it comes to traffic and conversions?
One of my mindsets is like most of the people who go to your page should opt in. Like back in the day, when I made my first million online in that company we were both a part of, I did it with like a 15 to 20% opt-in rate. Because that's what worked. I didn't have ClickFunnels or lead pages. I would pay like a designer, like a couple $100 and a programmer, like $100. And then I would have a custom lead capture page, very expensive. Who knew how good it would work? Never split tested, but just created it. It's like, hey, 15%, at least it's converting. I know I get 15 leads for every 100. And we made $1 million that way. Mm. Then I got programs like lead pages and ClickFunnels. And I started split testing, and then lo and behold, everything shifted. And I went from like 15 to 20% opt-in rates to like 50, 60, sometimes as high as 70% opt-ins. Mm. So something I realized, if your market to match, like in your content is a, you know, a direct correlation and it resonates, majority of the people who go to your website should take your offer. If they don't, you can do tweaking and testing. And I became obsessed with that and obsessed with conversions because we had the tools. Like ClickFunnels is like all you need to have like the ability to split test, create pages on the fly, not have to pay programmers and designers. Their stuff actually works. Mm-hmm. And if you have traffic coming in, you can get data like really quick, you know, so see what works on a headline, maybe a different color button and so forth. So, but that's what I've realized. And doing what I do now, working with less people, but making way more money because our conversions are higher than ever. So doing things a little, even more strategic than we used to, but getting very laser targeted, knowing who your audience is, creating the marketing material that's just going to, you know, really resonate and connect so that the majority of them take up the offer and that you attract the right people from the get-go. I never had a lot of success with like buying cold traffic and just, you know, getting leads from outside sources. The success that has always like separated us from everyone else, my wife and I, was like Facebook traffic, like no middleman, just like specifically targeting. You know what I mean? Right. No games being played, no one else taking my money and, you know, doing, you know, who knows what goes on behind the scenes. But I know it's in Facebook's best interest to deliver me
to serve
the
you.
Highest quality traffic so that I can continue to invest. So I decided to learn Facebook, you know what I mean? And there's some things that we do on Facebook that just work really well still to this day. You're familiar with them. Long story post.
Long story.
The written long ads.
The long form.
The other one is the video ads, which are like, you know, people love video. So if you can be authentic, put out good quality video, you know what I mean, in the form of like a story and get people emotionally connected, people will be sharing your ad and people don't even care that it's an ad because you've just inspired, you know, look at people like Gary V.
Right.
We just, I love sharing his videos because I watch it. And I'm like, this is good. People need to see this.
Right.
And it's like, he's getting all this free advertising, but it's like a win-win because he's putting out really good content.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And, you know, every interview I've done, everybody mentions him. And I think it's because of the storytelling, you know, and storytelling is essentially what we're doing right now, but it's big deal. And I've used it and it works, you know, like the long form, I've used it, it works. I'll say what I haven't really tested that much would be, the videos. I haven't tested on Facebook specifically. I haven't really tested, but I was getting ready to set up some really cool stuff with that. But some of the beauty, like you just mentioned, to advertising on Facebook is being able to split test, you know, you see what's working literally, you know. To add to what you just said with regards to buying ads, like solo ads and cold traffic and things like that, for me, it's been opposite. What has really worked for me the most has been being solo ads, you know. And that's why I laugh at people sometimes that don't really get in the game to figure out what's going to work for them. But sometimes you listen to this person, they say, this is what's going to work for me. The other person say, this is what's working for me. And before you know, you're confused and you never figure out something for yourself. And I've done it all. We started with SEO, you know. So I got to a place where I said, okay, I'm going to settle. And then they launched retargeting. What was that, like 2 years ago, 3 years ago? Like the noise about retargeting. So what I do now, I bring cold traffic to a page and whoever opts in, then I retarget them further through the funnel based on what I want them to do. So it's almost like you spend the time with the people that are actually interested. You can also retarget people that say no, but I just figure why, you know, but because you can, you know, they say no and you can, so you can exclude the people that opted in and target them with something else. You can be begging them with your retargeting ad to opt in, please. But I said, why? Right. So, all of that stuff I had to figure out for myself. I learned some basics, some, you know, from listening here over there, you know, but then ultimately you learn the best when you actually get in it, when you get in it and actually start executing pretty much. But really cool stuff, man. I wanted to inject some strategic stuff in there really quickly. Conversions, right? Obviously, not everybody that opts in will buy immediately. Is there any conversion tips that you have that you will offer to people that are listening on conversion? Yes.
Yeah. It's like people aren't really going to buy from you until they like you, know you, and trust you. So just build rapport, do the opposite what everyone else is doing. If everyone else is trying to sell them from email number one and they get an email every day trying to, like, you know, sell them, do the opposite. Don't try to sell them, give them free value, give them interviews like this. You know what I mean? Do some blog posts, shoot some videos, send it to them, build that relationship. You know what I mean? because then people will love to buy from you. And one of the things you can do is create like a Facebook group and really nurture that group, do private things for them, like Facebook Lives and stuff mm-hmm. like that. You'll have a really highly engaged group and offer, you know, people to come in there to get to know you better, share content on a regular basis. You know, the more you eat, you don't have to email every day. If you're putting out good content, like I prefer quality over quantity. You know what I mean? Just think of in the terms of what would you like to see in your email inbox? Mm-hmm. Do you want to be pitched every day, or do you want to like learn something cool and new from some new stranger that you know, you're just digging their value? So if you do that, you know, do things a little differently like that. If you do webinars,
right.
You do webinars as well. It's a great way to build a bond for a couple hours before right. asking for the sale.
Right.
You know what I mean? Demonstrating your value, then the sales will be more effortless. Where if everyone's just chasing people and it's like, buy this, buy that, mm-hmm. they're going to continue to struggle because this just doesn't work. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Absolutely. What do you see yourself in 5 years' time?
Probably not the United States. which country?
We're talking geolocations now. Well, talk to me about the geolocation. What do you want to be in 5 years?
There's a lot of destinations in our mind right now because we have, you know, that's why we travel so much, just because there's so much yet to see that we haven't been to. And there's the infinite possibilities, you know, who knows, you run into the right person. And then like the next day you're relocated somewhere else around the world. It's like, there's just endless possibilities, but we're looking into, you know, Puerto Rico.
Okay.
Recently, I know there's some things with their economy and such, but it's still a beautiful island. It's right next to Florida, so it's like a short distance away. Right. One of my favorite places is Thailand, but I don't think I'd want to live on the opposite side of the world for the long haul, but I'm down to visit like every couple months out of the year or something like that. Really right. enjoyed Bali a lot. My wife's favorite place is Medellin, Colombia. We've lived there, spent a lot of time mm-hmm. there. So right. there's just like, I think I'll be happy as long as I'm always traveling and okay. exploring, because if I'm stagnant in one area for too long, mm-hmm. like life becomes boring. It's like the same routine day after day. So I just need to always be seeing new things and like experiencing new situations I've never experienced before.
You should have Jabril take you to Nigeria, to Africa.
Yes, I have to go. I haven't been there yet.
You haven't been there yet?
Not yet.
Oh my God. All right, cool. The thing is that I've only been to a few places too. I haven't really traveled as much, but I do plan to do a lot of travel too. And I think you're right about the fact that there's so much to know, to learn about this world, that if you're not doing a little bit of that, at least you're going to be missing out big time. And the only regret you will have later on is, why didn't I, no matter what the cost is, you know? Cool, man. So I want to know where you see yourself in 5 years business-wise.
That's a good question. And I should project more 5 years into the future, because I probably don't. Because I'm like, 5 years, that's like next year times five. Whoa. It's like entrepreneurial-wise, I do have a dream of being a billionaire by the age of 40. Right now I'm 33.
Okay.
So I have a long ways to go, and there's only 7 years. So 5 years from now, hopefully I'm well on my way, if not there. I have no idea how it's going to happen.
Right.
It's just an energy that I believe, you know, can manifest that we really want. And my wife's dream is to be like, you know, as big as Oprah, who is the biggest
entrepreneur. I think she can do it.
On the world. And she's, you know, has full faith that she will. Yeah. And it's like, you know, that happening, I don't know at what age it would happen, but I would like to believe it would happen in the next, you know, 5 years. My wife just turned 30.
Okay.
So by the time she's 35, I mean, she really looks up to, you know, Oprah and many other female entrepreneurs. And so right. she wants to, you know, plant her flag and her name to be household, which I believe could happen. You know, time will tell. But absolutely. I would like to see that, you know, within 5 years for my wife be a household name.
Yeah. You know, what we get out of what we do is actually bigger than money, obviously. It's not just money. You know, even if you really want to quantify scientifically speaking, you know, look at all the people looking up to you today. look at all the people that watch your story and get inspired and decide that, you know what, I can do better with my own life as well too. All the impact, right, in your world. And it's been between 2012 and now, which is only 4 years ago, a lot has happened in that sense. So it's a lot that can happen.
Yeah. Ain't that crazy, dude? That was 4 years ago? That's
4 years ago, yeah.
Like, crazy.
Yeah. That's why we can't wait. It's the same reason why we can't waste time, that we must also let time, you know, do things. And it's just, it's weird how it works, you know. But yeah, so
yeah. Five years from now, like, people, you can, watching this, you can be anywhere in your life.
Anywhere. And I tell
you, can design it. Like, you can choose exactly where you would like to be. Yep. And that's like the first step towards heading to that direction, just knowing what you want and really going after it.
Now, with that being said, you get to ask a question to the audience.
I get to ask a question?
Yeah. Ask the audience a question. I want you to ask them a question that they can answer us in the comment area. And then,
I would like to know your biggest struggle area in your business. Is it conversions? Like, you're getting the traffic, you have a source, it's not converting. Is it the traffic itself? Maybe the traffic, you know, doesn't work. You've never made a sale before. Maybe it's neither. It's mindset, and you just can't stay focused. You get a result, but then you stop, and then you got to start all over again. Let me know precisely where your area of struggle is. I would like to know, you know, Ola would like to know, and then that way we can, you know, assist you with content in the future that can help you overcome whatever your biggest struggle area currently is.
Or maybe it's the definition of traffic itself.
What is traffic?
What is traffic? If that's what it is, let us know, you know?
Yeah.
Where can people find you, man? Where do you want them to go to find you, to find more information about
you? Justin11.com will take them to a lead capture page, which will get them on my list. And it's just J-U-S-T-I-N and my favorite number, which is 11. So Justin11.com. Perfect. Also, we still have the show over at Weird Entrepreneurs. If you want to listen to Ola's interview, it's really good. Yeah. I highly recommend that one. Enjoy it, you know.
Cool, man. I really appreciate you being here, man. And I can't wait. And since you just mentioned it, of course, now I have to get D on. I need to see her perspective on this thing. And the ladies, you know, the ladies will definitely be able to relate a lot more better. Because I'm sure you can pretty much testify that we often think we know a lot about the ladies, but we don't know Jack, right?
It's true. You know what I mean? My wife can, you know, connect on a whole different level that I can't. It's the truth. And also, when marketing, we get totally different. Like, for example, if I target men and ladies separately, which we always separate our ads, the results are always different. One's always higher than the other. Sometimes it's women, sometimes it's men, because they respond to things differently. It's like a different language. And the way my wife can connect with women, I can't connect that well. You know what I mean? So yeah. I totally will put in the good word for you.
Absolutely. Please do that. Do that. Please. I really had a good time, man. This is a lot of fun. And hopefully you've been enlightened and educated. I'll see you on the next one. Peace.
Peace.
Discover how to make $5,000 to $82,000 per month for flipping real estate in your backyard, even if you're on a shoestring low budget. No cash, credit, or experience required. Just simply go to www.reflipcoach.com. Hey, do you want my steps to six-figure PDF? Do you want that? Do you want my free ebook on how to make six figures income in simple steps? Simply go to networkmarketing2show.com. networkmarketing2show.com.